Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Timberwolves Podcast. Locked On Podcast Network. Who let Patrick Fennellin in the studio? My name is Zachary Bennett. Joining Patrick Fennellin, comedian Mike Brody and Candace Hoopas contributor David Naylor, who woke up in my living room apartment after celebrating a Wolves victory over the Atlanta Hawks 104-90. What's up, everybody? Let's start to my right, Mikey.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay. You are a stand-up comedian.
I am.
Most well-known among the Twitter sphere for your work with the Kevin Love jersey burning video.
Right, that was me.
This is a different podcast than you were on before, so right. I have to go through the regiment of introducing you.
Right.
Patrick Fennellin.
Most known for Cats.
Twitter, yeah. Twitter fame or
the
Twitter
musical?
Infamy. No, it's shirt. He's got an NBA Catwatch shirt, and you were telling me an interesting factoid in the car.
Oh, yeah. They NBA Catwatch, if you don't follow them on Twitter, please do. They've raised $14,000 for animal shelters everywhere, and you get a baller-ass shirt. And if you...
It's like 15, 20 bucks?
Yeah, it's perfect. They have socks, too. It's great.
That Twitter account is great because they track down NBA players who have cats.
They absolutely do.
Yeah, it's great.
So wait, they say who has cats and then they save cats?
Well, they do very important journalism work in finding out which players have cats and then tweet pictures of them.
They do stuff like breaking cat sighting. I mean,
yeah.
Or they'll go into their Facebook account and just be like, there's a cat in the corner of this photo right here. Mike Miller has a cat.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
I feel like Alexei Shved probably has like 20 cats.
He does.
He's like a cat lady.
Yes.
Oh, he used to have Siamese, and he has a Bengal now, and yeah.
David Naylor,
yeah.
Up here from Missouri.
Yep.
People know you for your work at Candace Hoopas. How's it going?
It's good.
How are you feeling this morning?
Good, actually. Satisfied to have actually attended a Wolves victory this year. Prior to this, I was 0-4 at games I had attended in various other places in the United States. So it was satisfying to see the Wolves get themselves a W last night.
It's important that we notify people of where you live and how you cover this team, and you need to go through the list of where you've seen the Wolves play this year.
So I live in St. Louis, Missouri. And so far this season, I have watched the Timberwolves play in Louisville, Kentucky during the preseason, and twice in Memphis, Tennessee, once in Oklahoma City, and once in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I have driven to each and every one of those games, and I drove here, and after we're done recording this podcast, I'm driving to Denver to cover Wednesday's game in Denver.
Shouts to Adam Mares, who has been a guest on this podcast, who knows a little bit about the Nuggets. So, yeah, fun times. The Wolves defeat the Hawks 104-90. Carl Anthony Towns doesn't miss a shot. Neither does Dwight Howard. The Wolves make 15 of 31 three-point attempts. David, Patrick, John Meyer, Tim Fakeless. We all go out for drinks after. Thanks for the drinks, by the way, gentlemen. And now we're here. Now we are here.
Your hangover over curing with Skittles.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a good day because I put money in the vending machine, hit Skittles. Unofficial Locked On Wolves podcast sponsor. Two came out.
Send Zach Skittles.
Please. I will take all of your scholarships. So, I don't know, Patrick, you've been talking about shit all morning, and I've been telling you to shut up because we need to talk about it on a pod. Where do you want to go?
I've drawn a blank at this point.
Naylor, did you read... Naylor, did you read Mike's article about Ricky Rubio?
Which one? The one of the Wolves need to trade Ricky Rubio?
I think
or
that's
the one
the most
immediately
recent.
Pleading for forgiveness that he said that the Wolves should trade Ricky Rubio?
I don't know. Let's let Mike explain it.
I'm an emotional guy.
I'm very reactionary. I'd like to point out that I've loved and defended Rubio forever, and I had one of those weird moments where I was like, it was like a breakup moment where I think I felt like he cheated on me or something, and I'm back. I'm back.
So
I'd forgive him if he cheated on me.
It was like 3 days.
We need to say more. It felt like he cheated on
you,
or you just felt like this wasn't working out?
Yeah, maybe that was right. It wasn't working out. I was like, you know, it didn't seem like it was working, and then I think I had too many Skittles, and I straightened out. I don't know. I feel deeply ashamed. I punched a cat. Like a cute little cat. Oh, sorry. Too real. Too real.
Oh, man. No, the quote I like from your article, and you can check out Mike's blog at outcomethetimberwolves.com, is about Ricky Rubio. Quote, "I don't care that you can't shoot. I can't cook or fix things around the house or perform basic adult functions, but my wife lets me stay married to her. Yep. What kind of hypocrite would I be for blaming you for doing just one thing badly?" Yep. It's brilliant. Ricky Rubio has, he's gone, I think, like 64-something straight minutes without a turnover.
That's pretty good.
Which
That's
is crazy. Surprising. I actually have it. He's now played 67 minutes and 40 seconds and handed out 22 assists since committing his last turnover, which is something.
I believe I
wrote the blog saying that we should trade him, and then he went on that tear. So I feel actually like I should say you're welcome.
Yeah. You should. You should have Ricky needs to give you a call and say thank you.
My biggest issue with the idea of trading him is he's such a unique player that I don't see how you trade him and get value back. In any way. Also, he's perfect in every way. But
and he's the Spanish unicorn.
Yeah, but he's such a unique player that I don't see – a team has to be very, very set up to receive him, and I just don't see how you do that until at least the offseason, if you do it then at all.
Do you think that the people that are for trading him – and I know for like 3 days I was in that camp, but we're gonna black that out with the marker, like the U.S. government records.
What are you talking about, Mike?
But I feel like the people that want to trade him most are the people who have kind of hopped on in the last year. Like,
the bandwagoners?
Yeah, because if you've watched him
not
since,
the type of people who burn their Kevin Love jerseys.
No, not at all. But I feel like – there's just it's an eyeball test with Ricky. You don't see it in the stats, even though you know his assist to turnover ratio is killing it right now.
Lately, sure.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, he can't make shots, but he takes them. You know, he tries.
My other issue is that I'm pretty bearish on Chris Dunn at this point. Where I
he's just not ready.
He's not. If he will be, is my question there?
That's taking it to the
next
level.
How do you feel about Tyus?
I like Tyus.
I'm for him.
He'll be a backup point guard somewhere someday. He could be here probably. Maybe not right now, but
on Ricky, the popular fan base has been so up and down on him so much.
Feel free to talk a little louder.
Through the last few years, like he remember last season when the trade for Tyus Jones went down, and there were people saying Tyus should be starting over Ricky. Immediately upon Tyus Jones,
we call
being
them
drafted.
Tyus Truthers.
Which, that was crazy.
that actually happened. So this and the thing that weirds me out at this point is the thing that's been witnessed by a few people and talked about on Twitter over the last like couple of weeks is the sound in Target Center when Ricky Rubio rises up for a shot.
I was going to bring that up. Like, were you watching the broadcast when Jim Pete was talking about this?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's been a thing for 3 years, though.
It's definitely taken some traction this year.
I've never noticed.
You have?
Huh.
No, it's just...
I can't tell if you're being a comedian or being serious.
No, it's real.
It's
real.
Very real. What was Jim Pete saying, though? Because I didn't get a chance to hear that.
I don't remember the full quote, but he was... basically the same thing everyone else is saying is like, why are you doing this if you want him to be successful? That doesn't help any human being's confidence for you to react like that.
Because what do they do?
Many fans here are dead.
Do they go, ah!
No, every time...
It's the groan. It's a groan.
He shoots and it's like a collective breath, and then if he misses, it's an audible groan.
Yeah.
And then if he makes it, it's a cheer. But it's counterintuitive or counterproductive to... yell things like he can't shoot or groan after misses. And Naylor, I don't know if yesterday was your first time in the Target Center watching a basketball game.
It was my second time third time in the Target Center watching a basketball game, second time watching a Wolves game.
You were near Media Row enough
I don't know if you heard the guys yelling, put in Tyus.
Yep.
I mean, he gets it all game. He gets it all game. It's hilarious. So those people, Tyus Truthers, it's pretty funny.
I mean, Tyus should get some more minutes. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But it. Yeah,
that's very worthwhile point,
but,
sure.
But that's definitely not what...
I groan every time Jordan Hill comes in.
Well, I mean...
Don't you dare. That's my guy.
I know.
He has played. I said it was a Christmas miracle that he all of a sudden played on Christmas.
Gorgie got in foul trouble, or was that last game?
That was Oklahoma City game.
Yeah.
The loss to Oklahoma City, but it was sort of surprising. And Cole Aldrich hasn't played. I don't know if it's been an injury or...
Coach decision.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
I on Jordan Hill, I actually went to do a little bit of looking on that. Kent Youngblood from the Star Tribune did a little piece on that. And the first line of the piece is, for the record, Jordan Hill was surprised too.
And Jordan Hill is very laid back, and I know you've spit the shit with him, for lack of a better phrase, yeah. Naylor. And I'm a big U of A guy, so he and I have bonded over those times. So how dare you punk slander to Jordan Hill. But... Yeah, that was weird how he got in. I thought yesterday was interesting how there were all of the Minnesota natives. Chris Humphreys playing, Mike Muscala playing, Tyus Jones got in the game. Not Cole Aldrich, though. It was just missing John Luehr, that's it.
On the opposite of the spot, I was a little bummed for Muscala. He was huge in the first matchup between the Wolves and the Hawks this year. I think he had a season high in points, 18 points, if I remember right.
He had like the first 8 points in the third quarter.
In the third quarter, yeah. He went on a huge tear in Atlanta. And I know I saw a tweet before the game that said he had like 60 or 70 family members at last night's game. So I was a little bummed for him that he didn't get to have that kind of tear at home as much as he are for a not Timberwolf.
Yeah, like, making shots helps. He was just on fire in the first Hawks match.
How is it that we have Atlanta's number? What are we doing that we don't do with anybody else?
Paul Millsap matches up very poorly against both Karl-Anthony Towns and Gorgie Jang. That's a big reason.
I think too, and Naylor, we were talking about this at Stubb and Herbs, the Hawks don't score in transition.
That is also true.
Which is not ideal because the Wolves don't defend well at all in transition. And so when you don't take advantage of a weakness like that, it puts you at a disadvantage. The Hawks had a lot of turnovers last night too, so they killed themselves in a lot of respects. But they didn't make shots.
I feel like, and it made less sense last season. Like, because
they swept, they're 3 in a row right now, right?
4 in a row. They swept last year, swept this year now. Like, it was much stranger last season when it was the start of last season and they were on that stretch where they only won games on the road. And the first, like, significant one of those was beating Atlanta in Atlanta, right, at the start of the season.
They just stomped them, too.
Yeah,
game. And LaVine played well at point guard. That was a really weird game. That was really weird.
So like,
it's weird whenever that happens, isn't it?
I was impressed with the Wolves playing as well as they did with Dwight Howard's return, because that's obviously the big talking point from Atlanta's side, is this was Howard's first game back from an injury. He didn't play in the first matchup last week. And I thought that he did the best that he could.
Except for almost KOing Paul Millsap with his elbow.
Yeah, that was a problem.
Literally, he looked like... You know, he was going to say, Millsap looked like he was going to
I believe you referred to that earlier as pulling an Adrian Payne.
Yes, it is. Just injuring your own player trying to get a rebound. That is what he did.
You see why this is why we don't talk about stuff before the podcast? Because you can make jokes and have it be original material on the podcast. I feel it's necessary to mention that Patrick Fenelon is better known as a picture of Ricky Rubio in like the Obama hope form on the Twitterverse.
Yeah.
You are not that person. You look... kind of similar to your avatar, but...
No, I look like Seth Rogen.
People bought him drinks in Dinky Town last night because they thought he was Seth Rogen. can't make this stuff up.
Did you go with it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
For a little while, yeah.
And the guy was just like, hey, can I Snapchat you? I'm just like, okay, I'm going to do this where I look like I'm walking by you, so I'm passively Seth Rogen. And
you should have just embraced it because it's none of your concern what the Snapchat users think. And wasn't this the guy who... All of a sudden, he smacked over a drink.
It's almost started a fight, yeah.
He starts yelling at the bartender, meet me when you get off work. Meet me there. That was wild.
I quit wearing glasses because people say I look like Moby.
I don't know what Moby looks like now
about it. He's a bald, white dork.
I know he does
with glasses.
He had a song in the SSX soundtrack, that snowboarding game on PS2. And I know that Eminem ripped him in a couple songs, but that's it.
Yeah, he called
him
some mean things.
I'm going to Google him, though.
Yeah.
and see if you look like him.
Any bald guy with glasses gets called Moby.
Well, unless they're overweight, then I call them Cold Stone Steve Austin.
Oh, that is good. One of the interesting...
I have a basketball take.
Okay.
No.
This is the place... we don't serve those here.
I am concerned that Chris Dunn is destined to turn into Dennis Schroeder.
What? Why?
I think he'll be.
I don't think he's nearly crafty enough.
I think
he'll be Dennis Schroeder.
I think he'll be Marcus Smart. Is what I think he'll be.
That's a fair.
Maybe, probably without not quite the same motor though, which is unfortunate.
It's going to take him a while to learn how to orchestrate and facilitate a half court offense because like 40% of his transition scoring
is in transition.
Was in transition in his last year. Probably.
I was just like, the Chris Dunn offense. Which is basically like hope you get a turnover and run really fast. Like that's the Chris Dunn offense.
Yeah.
And like Dunn played one of my favorite games that I've seen him play last night. He was great on defense. And he didn't get in the way on offense, which was really important. I remember noticing after his first shift in the second quarter, he had like zero recorded stats, but he'd played good defense, and he had facilitated the offense and not gotten in both his own way and other people's way by not moving the ball.
My biggest issue with him, and it happened last night again, is he does not understand what NBA rim protection is. Like, he'll just go up for a layup and just get swatted weak side.
Yeah,
like, he didn't even see him coming.
It's a very astute observation. Dunn finishes 1 of 4, 3 points, 6 rebounds.
Right, yeah, he plays very well outside of a half-court offense, but, like, that's a very important.
You see, he had an open break with Levine there, and he went and dunked it on his own anyway. He's like, no, I need this.
He needs it. Levine's probably like, do you, homeboy? I get enough dunks.
Right.
Levine should be
Wasn't that right after they screwed up another fast break, though?
Probably.
I feel like the sequence that I remember the sequence you're talking about, and
we're supposed to be the analysts here now.
They had immediately screwed up another fast break directly before that, and then had gone through a delightful fiesta of swatted balls running all across the court.
Swatted balls are the worst,
yeah, right?
It's
with cats. It happens a lot.
Nice.
For losing the rebounding battle in last night's game, which they lost 46-40.
Thanks, Dwight.
I thought that the Wolves actually rebounded relatively well. I was actually really impressed with Shabazz.
Who,
later in the game,
it happens sometimes.
Second most shot attempts on the team last night.
And
scored double digits. I want to say 12. I have it up.
Who
here.
Got more offensive rebounds?
The Hawks or the Wolves, you're asking?
Yes.
Probably the Wolves.
Not even close, actually.
Really?
The Wolves would have had to miss something.
That was actually the entire gap, was the Hawks had 6 more offensive rebounds.
Well, the Wolves are one of the better offensive rebounding teams in the league, but they shot well enough that they didn't need to get those offensive rebounds.
Also, Dwight is good at defensive rebounding.
He's a monster, too. That's a funny parallel, because Dwight didn't miss a shot, and neither did Karl Anthony Towns. Yep. Dwight finishes 9 of 9 with 20 points. Towns finishes 8 of 8 with 22 points.
And 3 of them were threes, right?
Yeah. It's surprising to know that he's only, like, that's his maximum. That's his season high for made threes in a game. It matched a season high.
Right.
But his first two are from the corner, of course, the spot where he missed it. When he had 2 game-winning opportunities. Who did they play?
Sacramento.
I wasn't even mad about that sequence because it was a really good action, and the ball was in and out of the rim, and they shouldn't have let up the lead, but they got the shot that they were looking for. Like the Sacramento game wasn't quite wasn't really a collapse like the way we've seen him before. Like they played pretty well. In fact, they played pretty good defense, save for the second half.
I don't agree at all. I don't think they played defense at all. Tibbs' quote after the game was, "We didn't play defense from start to finish."
Well, that just means they're inconsistent. That doesn't mean they didn't play defense at times.
Well, the Kings shot like 53% and made 15 threes.
Well,
that's not very good defense.
Yeah.
Are you towing the line between pessimist and optimist right now?
Well, that's what I've been doing all year. But, I mean, if you look at their defensive rating over the past 5 games, say for the second half versus OKC, they've been pretty good. It's a pretty vast improvement over what we saw at the beginning of the season.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're actually icing the pick and roll, like, not great yet, but it's, like, not a disaster like it was to start off. I mean,
there are fewer people forgetting where
right,
to be
and they're
on the court.
They're pretty clearly communicating better.
I mean, that was the most noticeable thing on Christmas, was there were people just missing assignments left and right.
Yep.
That was I said that, like, the most noticeable place where OKC got away with it is they just kept getting alley-oops backdoor.
Yep.
Someone's blowing coverages to let that happen over and over and over. That's not Russ being great, which Russ is great, but for all those runs to the rim to be as wide open as they are, somebody's not doing something they're supposed to be in the scheme.
Yeah, that's more than fair.
So it was better last night.
Quite frankly, I think it's been Towns who has struggled in pick and roll coverages. I mean, he's the reason Ryan Anderson's open and the Rockets hit a three, because he and Wiggins don't keep it together. And
it's very weird. Like, some people have called Towns lazy, and I think he's actually trying to do
overly ambitious. I agree.
Right, and he's got to dial that back. I mean, he's got to just know, like,
play within the scheme.
Right, that's the whole point. I mean, yeah, team defense is infinitely more important than individual defense, especially if you're, like, you know, a rim protector that's anchoring the whole damn thing. Like, yeah, you have to play in the scheme or it all falls apart.
The word he's been using, Thibodeau, that is togetherness or collectiveness. Tom Schreier wrote an article about it, but it's, you know, you cannot stray away from within the scheme, especially defensively, because when you go rogue, quote-unquote, Tibbs calls it, you go rogue, and then nobody knows what anybody else is doing. It's like, it's a downfall. It's like one person pukes, somebody sees that person puking, and then pukes, and then it's just a downward spiral from then on. You guys didn't like that metaphor? That's fine.
It's gross. How about yawning?
Is yawning contagious? Is that scientifically fact?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, any other observations, Naylor, from last night's game? How was your fan experience at Target Center?
It was what I expected it to be.
So,
I
mean, real decent?
I watch every game at home, and the beauty of NBA League Pass TM is is that during the commercial breaks, you get the Jumbotron feed. So it's like being at the game, because I have the Kiss cam on in my living room, and it's very concerning at times.
Oh, that reminds me. The Levine movie review?
That was the best bit I've seen in an arena this year.
That's the one thing I missed.
I was watching on FSN.
I will attempt to find it.
I hope that's somewhere out on the internet. Yeah, that was hilarious.
Close circuit to the Timberwolves digital media team. If you can get that video up on YouTube, that will be popular, because they had Levine review the movie Titanic, and he did all of the...
He destroyed it.
Mike, I'll put you on the spot. Review the movie Titanic, and then we'll talk about it.
Review the movie Titanic?
Yeah. I want to see what points you have.
It's 100% historically accurate.
Sure.
Those were real people. I don't know. It was 1997. I was old enough to go see it in the theater. And
You had it on VHS, right? The two VHS set?
There was two. Oh, because it had two different tapes.
It came in two, yeah.
Oh, who should be reviewing this movie then, huh?
Zach LaVine did, because he did an excellent job. He was like, first of all, this board that, you know, there was room for both of them, okay?
Oh, right.
He didn't need to go. He could have got on the board. A couple other things. He's like, you know, I don't know why it was just women and children on the lifeboats, but I'd have been on one of those lifeboats.
Here's an interesting fact. Britney Spears actually has the jewel from the Titanic that she dropped in the ocean.
Britney Spears dropped the jewel.
Don't you know your pop culture facts?
No,
that song?
I don't.
There's a
Oops,
I did it again. There's a little segue where she's like, she goes, oh. He goes like, baby, I brought you that jewel that the old lady dropped. She's like, oh, you shouldn't have.
How old are you? Old enough to have idolized Britney Spears when she was making music back in the day. And then, you know, old enough to also have seen the downfall.
She's so blamed.
But no, Naylor, you remember anything from the Levine movie review? I don't have it. I can't find it on the internet.
I just remember him totally trashing it, and it was very funny.
Yeah, I mean, he just owned it.
It's great, because it's exactly how Zach talks most of the time. Just in a canned segment and feature, and he has a delightful personality that I don't think people know about as much.
He's probably he's definitely the most outgoing member of that entire core. Like I mean, what you saw when they were before the All-Star break when they're he was just basically running the interview between him, Wiggins, and Towns.
Yeah.
I mean, he's. I remember I wasn't there for media day, but you know, everyone went up in pairs apparently for his rookie year, and apparently Levine just went up there like by himself.
Yeah, he's chill.
And he just went.
What's going on with his beard?
He's trying to.
It looks awful. You have opinions about this.
I said he looks like a homeless Wolverine mixed with the redheaded guy from The Burbs.
Prove he's not.
I thought that the first game he had been cultivating this, which I think was the Sacramento game. I thought there was something wrong with my TV because his face looked weird and I couldn't figure out why.
Hey, he's hitting threes now, so keep it.
Six of nine from last night. Nice.
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 Everybody went through that sort of experimental stage with facial hair at 21 or something, didn't they?
I love Levine. I'm so glad he's coming into his own.
Yep, same.
Yeah, what was Matt Moore, Hardwood Parag, CBS Sports? It's like, it's getting to the point, throw the kitchen sink at Levine. Like, just teams are going to start making him ridiculous offers, or the Wolves are going to pay him ridiculous amounts of money.
I mean, yeah. Like, he's going to get paid.
I think he's their most...
Is Zach Levine a max player?
Sure. I think he's their most reliable offensive scorer at this point.
By far.
Also, from a marketing standpoint, which I know doesn't matter for basketball, but he's so sellable. As a commodity, he's like a slam dunk champion 2 times. I mean, he's
future 3-point contest winner.
Wiggins is really boring.
Oh,
I read an article. I can't remember where it was, but they said that you could trade one of them because they're redundant together.
I disagree.
I totally disagree.
Yeah, I disagree too. But I was like, people are starting to have that opinion.
No, that was my opinion on Buddy Hield.
Since
my opinion on Buddy Hield is that he's bad and will always be bad.
He's not very good at all.
Since we're on Zach LaVine,
Steph Curry. That's
how concerning is it that Zach LaVine is currently leading the NBA in minutes played?
Not at all.
Per game.
Who's third?
Shit. It's not like he makes contact. Kyle with
Lowry. Who's
second? Wiggins is down to 5.
Who's second? Where's Jimmy Butler?
8th.
Damn it, Tibbs.
No, LaVine, and last night helped a lot of them. That's why Wiggins is down from 3rd to 5th, I'm pretty sure, because they were up by, 30 in the third quarter, so a lot of the guys played less. Gorgie played the most minutes last night.
Yeah,
Towns only played 30. LaVine only played 30. Wiggins only played 28.
But he put Towns back in when we were up by, 24 in the fourth.
Had to.
Yeah.
I mean...
Have you watched this team this season? I have no trust.
Fair enough.
My tongue was sort of tongue in cheek when I said had to, but
I was watching. I was watching this with my friend Paul at the bar, and basically, we were just talking, and I just screwed with him when there's a minute left. Like, holy crap, the Wolves are down to it's a 5-point lead now. He just turned around, snapped his neck, just said, "I hate you so much."
They were outscored 25-15 in the final frame.
My wife doesn't really watch basketball, but she sees it because I'm always watching it, And when we were watching the Rockets game, I believe I was wrapping Christmas presents or doing something like that. And I did the fateful error, which is we got this. We're going to win this. And my wife was like, honey, that's not going to happen. This is the Timberwolves.
This is similar to your interaction at the beginning of the year when we're going to be really good this year.
Listen, if you take away the Rockets game and a couple fluke things, we're sort of essentially playing 500 ball right now.
Sure.
We're 4-6 in the last 10. It's close enough to... I feel like we're starting to turn a corner.
Yeah. But
Naylor, to answer your question, it's not concerning because LaVine doesn't play he drives, but he's not seeking out contact.
He's a ninja around the rim. He just literally avoids it.
So
but
then
still makes it.
The second piece of that would be
he doesn't play
Wiggins
in a way
being
that's
fifth in the NBA.
That's a little more concerning.
It absolutely is, especially the way he plays and constantly tries to draw contact.
Physically taxing.
So two of the things that people said about Tibbs coming in was that his teams don't shoot threes, right? And then that he plays them too many minutes. So it turns out that one was not true and one is true.
His teams shot threes. It's just they played at a glacially slow pace and just were terrible on offense. They looked like
they were middle of the pack in threes attempted.
Right.
And at the beginning, frankly, they were lower. They were 25th, 27th range in threes attempted. But he took the sabbatical and studied the 3-point shot.
Yeah. My issue with Tibbs' offense when he was in Chicago was it looked like
he has a propensity to play two bigs at the same time.
Well, there's that, but it's also just, their offense was just – that team was like a guy in an impenetrable suit of armor trying to kill you with a spork. That's what that team was like at times, where it's just –
That's actually really good.
Like, you know, it's just like, how is this team going to even score points? Like, it just – they would hope for Noah hitting somebody for a backdoor cut. That was their whole
– But was it – I mean, because Rose was injured often.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like,
what?
Yeah, no, like
Derrick Rose, you heard of him?
They were reduced to that. No, they're absolutely reduced to that. But I mean, that's how what that team deteriorated into, and Tibbs didn't adjust.
Noah can't score. Who are some other? We don't need to wax it.
Carlos Boozer is Carlos Boozer.
Tony Snell.
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes it felt like their offense was their backup point guard, just creating. Name them: Nate Robinson, Aaron Brooks. Who else did that? I mean, that
DJ Augustine.
There you go. Exactly. So.
As far as the earlier point that the Wolves are playing essentially 500 ball, that's backed up in numbers. Their net rating is -1.9, which is 17th in the NBA.
No,
tied with the Pacers, who are five games better than
they
are.
How'd hiring McMillan work for them, huh?
They're mediocre and are still probably a playoff team in the East because the East is terrible.
But. Well, so is the eighth seed. It's like that photo of Elmo going around with a nuclear bomb going off.
And that's
basically the race for the eighth seed right now. It's just
in the West.
In the West.
I think that's what I say every year. Is I start with we're going to be good this year, and then about a month or two in, I go, God, if we were just in the East.
Well, this year it's still good.
This year it's hilarious because there's in the West there's the seven good teams, and then there's this chasm down to the eight seed, which is why the Wolves are still three or four games out of the
three
eight
and a half out.
Is it three and a half?
And that
out?
Never used to be the case. It used to be two or three teams with winning records that didn't make the playoffs.
They're four games out.
The Blazers just—they're
like one of 10 in their past 11.
Have they turned it?
They're in a free fall. Lillard isn't playing. Evan Turner's been a disaster.
Wait, isn't playing?
Well, he didn't play last night. He was sat due to injury.
Evan Turner is playing like he's Evan Turner, is my thought on that.
Well, they paid him like he was something more than that.
Yeah.
Who could possibly have seen that contract being a terrible idea coming?
That was weird. Anyway.
Well, you gotta pay Evan Turner that much money. You just gotta.
You got to draft Buddy Hield. I don't make the rules.
He's the next Steph Curry. That's what he... And he was going to be a fantastic defender. That's what the internet told me, even though I said he was going to be terrible. And, you know, I'm just going to say I told you so until the cows come home on this one because people were so mad at me for this.
The Kings moved into the eighth seed when they beat the Wolves.
I know.
And they remain there. They are 14-17. The Wolves
are 10-21?
They're
10-20.
They're four games back of the Kings for that eighth seed, but... just as many teams separate them from the Kings. So they're four games and four teams back of the eight seed.
At the same time, if you sort the West by net rating, the Wolves are the eight seed. That's not how it works.
We're going to the Pythagorean playoffs. That's my thought.
Yes. Oh, bang, gavel, it's done. The problem has been that they can't string together 48 minutes of consistent basketball.
Which Tibbs has been saying since preseason.
Hey, by the way, the bench is bad, and they have a bad bench, and they should improve the bench so as to have a better bench.
Bench is bad.
Well, are we playing like eight players?
Yeah, I mean, but who else do you play? Tyus probably.
Troy Hudson.
Is he around? Is he still making music?
Undrafted. Anyways.
In my heart, he is.
No, who 79 did you play?
Albums,
seriously.
79 albums sold, and they played it at Target Center. It was glorious.
79 albums sold?
That's how many he sold. Like, they were playing it at Target Center, and they sold, even though it only sold, 79 albums.
What was that? What was his song called?
Shut Him Down, I think, was that?
No, it was, Unstoppable or something.
I could pull it up.
The album was Undrafted. I just remember that, but I wonder why. And
who do they play more? I mean, he's really let Baz off the...
I'm gonna throw Patrick a slow one here.
Oh, that should be good.
Tell me about Donatas Mataunas.
Yeah, they should sign Mataunas. Just use the remaining cap space for the rest of the year.
The guy who is
what's the harm? What's the harm?
Well, he's got the back issue a problem for one. He couldn't get traded because he couldn't pass a physical.
He refused to show up for the physical. There's a difference.
Another, it's because he knew he would fail it.
No, it's because he didn't want to play for the damn Rockets.
Well, now they've matched, under restricted free agency rules, he is a Rocket.
No, he's not.
Yes, he, I thought Brooklyn made a deal and the Rockets matched it.
And then he didn't show up to
that's
the physical.
And that's not okay. You're not supposed to do that. So
but
there's
he
my
did,
problem
and they
right
just,
there.
And they relinquished the offer because I guarantee you it's because he didn't want to play for Daryl Morey, who treats people like math equations.
I'm going to do my due diligence and we're going to talk later because that's not how I understand it.
No, that isn't supposed to be how it works. But like that's kind of what happened.
His agent is an idiot.
Who's his agent?
I don't. It doesn't matter who it is.
I was hoping it was Dan Fagan. That's all.
It's not him.
Well, that's too bad because, well, they shouldn't sign him if it's Dan Fagan.
But he's, it's but. Like, no, that's not how this works. You are contractually obligated to play for this team.
And then they relinquished the offer.
No, that's not. Okay. I'm done talking about this. I'm going to do my due diligence.
He's an unrestricted free agent, right?
No.
David, back me up on this.
No, that has transpired because I don't know, man. We can move on.
How long before we can get Peck off the books?
Pretty soon.
Insurance is in January. Like it's a calendar year since his last appearance.
I doubt they do it until the off season when they'll do the retired player thing, just in case someone tries to screw the Wolves over by signing him to like a minimum deal, so they get the cap space back on. That's my guess.
A la Khan, Brandon Roy.
Yeah, or what's going to happen with Chris Bosh? I mean, like they're going to do the retired player thing with him, but they're not going to. They're not going to undo his deal until they can sign a free agent because they know that someone else is going to sign Chris Bosh just to screw the Heat over, but they want to have that cap space.
But if they were not going to do that, which is unlikely based on what you just said, they could do something with insurance one calendar year removed from the last appearance.
That's what I'm talking about, the retired player.
But you're saying they wait until the offseason.
I think that they do that just because it's pragmatic to do that because they won't get screwed over by someone else ruining their cap space. Like, sure. Brandon Roy was amnestied. It didn't hurt their cap space.
No.
This would hurt their cap space.
Well, yeah.
Is Peck even on the bench in a suit?
Nope.
He's not even around.
Inactive every time, doesn't even show up.
He's just in Montenegro somewhere.
Not even working out at the training facilities from what I've seen.
Just chilling with Andrew Bynum.
Hopefully. That would make a good buddy
bowling.
Cop show.
Oh, man. Oh, God. That would be fantastic.
That dude's like 28 still, isn't he?
Bynum?
Yeah.
Maybe. He could be younger.
But he also hates basketball. So there's that.
Wasn't he in the stands?
He showed up
for one of the finals
game six of the finals.
Yeah, that's what I thought. He was just in the crowd.
And he's apparently just like driving around the country. He's traveling. That's all he's doing right now.
Kind of like you, Naylor.
Yeah, kind of like me. I'm basically Andrew Bynum.
Why don't you should get a podcast with Andrew Bynum. That's my thought process.
I'd do it.
As long as he saved his money, right? You know? He's not Antoine Walker. He's fine.
We've gone off the rails.
So on Muddy Unis, having done the due diligence.
Thank you.
The Rockets renounced him, and he's an unrestricted free agent as of 10 days ago.
Oh, okay. So you were right. I apologize.
And it's because he didn't even show up to the physical, correct?
Yeah.
The Rockets haven't confirmed that, but it's basically like, that's the common assumption.
And is it because he didn't want to play for the Rockets is my guess.
But what do you have?
And now the Nets can't sign him. That's the weirdest aspect of all of this.
He's eligible to sign with any team except for the Nets.
And the Rockets.
Because the Nets made him an offer sheet.
And it was matched.
So
the Nets can't sign him for another year.
It's the most. I had no idea this could even happen.
Yeah.
Like
it's because most people abide by the damn rules.
Well,
that's pretty genius then.
If he gets another contract, sure.
Well, I guess.
Make a good living in Europe for the rest of his life. That's fine. Be happy for him.
You're saying we should sign him
for just the rest of the season, just to bolster the bench a bit, because I don't want to see Adrian Payne play another minute.
I'm going to go on a whim and say that does not happen.
That's probably true. That's fine, but I would also like to see
Bielitsa improve enough to play more,
or play him at the three and get Baz off the court.
Really, you think he could play him at the? He got away with it for those couple games.
Yeah, at the Lakers, he was really good actually at it.
But that was matchup based. Like, okay, so they do that last night against Atlanta, and he's guarding Kent Bazemore or Thabo? No thanks. I'm out.
So Baz guarding them? I mean, what's...
Well, Baz wasn't guarding them. Baz doesn't guard anyone. that's true.
I'm pretty sure Baz doesn't even know there's other players on the court when he's playing.
What does defense have to do with getting buckets? That's all I have to say about that.
Sure, Baz, didn't you have an assist against the Kings?
It was an accident.
It's in transition.
Some missed shot. Oh, Baz.
Speaking of Adrian Payne, occasionally I'll post my blog on Reddit to give it like a bump or something like that, and I've never had a more angry reaction than when I just offhandedly mentioned that I thought Adrian Payne had talent. and people just flipped out.
Oh, you deserve the flipped out.
Well, I meant, I didn't mean like he's good. I just meant like he's physically got skills. He doesn't know how to use them.
He's got tools. Like he's, what's the expression I've used before? He's like a race car with a 15-year-old in the driver's seat.
That has a spork.
Yeah, exactly.
that was very good. The armor with the spork. That's so very good.
That's what that team was.
Adrian Payne, who managed to get a DNPCD in this blowout, by the way.
Oh, I don't know. You guys are terrible friends, so I don't think you listen to that many episodes of this podcast. But we're in the locker room a couple weeks ago. Some of the listeners listening now probably have heard this, but I'll tell you guys because it's funny. We're in the locker room, and I'm BSing with Jordan Hill, as I am one to do. And Jordan Hill comes out, and he's like, he's making fun of Adrian Payne for wearing supposedly fake polo boxers. And then Jordan Hill and I are talking about how the Macy's downtown is going to close. Don't know when. And Adrian Payne chirps from his locker. He's like, I don't shop in Minnesota. I look at Jordan Hill. I go, people come to Minnesota to shop. There's no sales tax on clothing. What? I just found it ludicrous.
I was at a bar talking to Andy G of
Punch Drunk Wolves, yeah. And a wolf among wolves now.
And
sits to my right, the poor guy on Meteor Row. Every
so game. We were talking. I think it was Wiggins' rookie year, and so we were just breaking down like all the players on it. We were just getting to the front court, and then Adrian Payne was just down the bar from us and clearly an earshot.
No way.
Earshot of us and just walked away because he knew we were about to just trash him.
No way.
Yeah.
Where were you?
508.
That's so funny.
And then our comment was like, yeah, I guess his awareness is contagious.
I can't believe he was at the bar next to you.
I would drink if I was 18.
So you think he's the worst player on our team?
I mean,
I think so. I do.
Yeah.
Honestly,
probably.
I do.
Yeah, he is.
At there in a vacuum, am I using that right? He's the worst.
Right. Like
he's right behind you.
Cole Aldrich does do stuff at the 93X studios in the morning occasionally. So to see him walking around wouldn't be a surprise. Oh. I don't think Adrian Payne has any of those media deals, though.
Oh, Adrian Payne.
No, I do think he's the worst.
On paper, I mean,
I'm tempted to say Brandon Rush, but Brandon Rush at his full potential.
He's not. He's actually not bad. He should probably play a little bit more.
I don't know what's going on with him. That's perplexing.
I don't know.
He's been bad the little bit that he's played, and he has been hurt.
Yeah.
The whole year. I didn't think this toe thing was supposed to last 2 months.
No.
Because that was like, when he first went out with it, no one knew what was happening.
No, it wasn't well documented at all, and
yeah,
he sent a picture out on Snapchat.
On Snapchat, yeah. Like, and then he made it onto the injury report after that, and like it was a real thing, and it looked extremely painful, and I would imagine it would affect your footwork and your shot and all of that. So it makes sense that he hasn't been that good, but I would think it would be recovered from after 2 months.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
when's the last time he played?
Couldn't tell you. You're doing your due diligence though.
It has to be like a month ago, and it was like for very
It's longer than the last time I covered a Wolves win, which was November 19th against Philly. I missed the game against Phoenix.
Oh, Philly.
Those are their two last home wins. You guys saw it before the show. I think it's a good idea. The Bucks selling, doing something called the 10-win ticket package, where you go to games until you see 10 wins.
Woo!
I'm pulling up the article right now. But what a good idea,
that
huh?
That's a good idea.
That might boost attendance.
As I tweeted before the game, it'd be a really good deal for the Wolves.
Yeah.
It would have got, had you bought it.
$149.
So for $149, if the Wolves had done this at the start of the season last year, that would have taken you to the All-Star break. And the season before it would have been a season ticket.
Well, flash season
because they won 9 home games in 2014.
That is so
15.
Funny.
Hey, flash seats says screw you.
Yeah.
Anyways,
the attendance was poor before flash seats.
Speaking of deals,
right,
the most important thing from the game last night: did we get the cherry berry?
They did.
They did.
The game had everything. Who missed them? Was it Dwight?
I want to say it was Humphries.
Oh no, I feel like I would have remembered that. Do you think Humphries did it on purpose? These are my people.
And also, I know.
Who was Gallet just after the game? We're getting ice cream.
Yeah. Also, I know that Dwight only missed one free throw last night.
There you go.
So
out of how many?
Three.
Who did give him the cherry berry? It could have been Mike. I think it was Mike Scott.
Great.
He was one of five from the... Well, no,
that's been going on for years, right?
Process of elimination.
It would have had to be
It was DeAndre
something
Bembry.
Named
it was DeAndre,
DeAndre Bembry, because he was one of three from
yep,
the...
Yep, he's the only Hawk who missed multiple free throws.
That's the guy who wasn't Josh Childress, by the way.
Josh Childress.
I don't know who that guy was, but he looked like Josh Childress, and he was not Josh Childress.
I miss Josh Childress just because the afro was cool.
I think that deal's been going along for a while.
Yeah. I have a memory of going to the Rambus era games and being like, well, at least I might get ice cream.
I've drank in my way, so I don't remember that. But yeah.
So
it's got dark.
What are our thoughts on the Denver game?
I'm anxious to hear your
opinion. They should try to do that.
Because the Denver and the Wolves rank the lowest in terms of home attendance, so I'm anxious to get a report back from Naylor as far as which stadium had the better ambiance for a basketball game.
And it's Adam Morris, friend of the program, has long been critical of how the Nuggets are portrayed within Denver media.
That's 100% true.
And it's very true.
If you're not the Broncos, they hate you. Like, that's basically how that market works.
Not even the Avalanche? They don't... Not a hockey town?
Not particularly.
Really. No, they just care about football there, and that's basically it.
It's worth... I mean, Adam is always worth following, but the last couple of days in particular, he's had some commentary on how badly the kind of general... local media in Denver.
To be fair, they could rip the Nuggets lately because
they don't talk
about them.
Well, it's not just that; it's also
win games.
The Nuggets don't really have a history of being a powerhouse. You know?
They had the nice little runs in 2009.
They had Melo with Dan Issel before that.
I don't.
Way
even...
back when they had the Rubik's Cube jerseys, Alex English,
which I am a fan of.
Yeah,
by the way.
We got. Yeah,
we've been in tit for tat.
More or less that market it's kind of like our market where it's strange it's a 14 market except everyone is terrible here, so we're just looking for someone to love.
It is.
But they should be forced to play their home games in Omaha. It's not fair they to play that high up in the mountains.
Or it is fair. It's a competitive advantage.
That's why George Karl won all those damn games.
Yeah, it's fair to them. They get because their home record is always way better.
George
than
George Karl.
Let's not go crazy. I don't think Omaha deserves a team.
Well, I was just trying to think of
a D-League
flat
team.
Place.
No, who was their last coach with the Ty Lawson and the we're not going to do shoot arounds until 3 because I got to go party and sleep in the next day. God, what is his name? Tip of my tongue.
Wait,
Fanelin, help me out, bro.
Before Malone?
Yeah, before Malone.
Did Byron Scott ever coach for them?
No, but it was a Byron Scott lookalike.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
I'll wait.
Just Dikembe Mutombo.
Brian
Shaw.
They ousted.
Thank you.
The joke I made was, I see the Nuggets ousted the Shaw. This was my joke.
they revolted against him.
Yeah, that was just awful.
That was a huge mess.
And he's not a good coach.
And has not been back in the league since for reasons.
I'd be anxious to talk to Marius about a few Denver storylines. Maybe we'll give him a call sometime. The whole Jokic
thing is that Jokic is actually starting now.
Jokic? Yeah, well, that's what should have happened.
What should have happened a long time ago. And
he was bad.
But he's also their best player.
I agree. He's my second favorite Serbian in the league right now.
Especially because Gallo's been bad this year.
After
Nemanja Bjelica.
When is Gallo going to be a free agent?
It's this summer.
I'm good on Gallo.
Yeah, good like against him?
Or? I'm good. Against him.
Similar to
Monta Ellis, I'm good on that.
I really wanted him over the last offseason.
Gallo?
No, he's been bad. Yeah. I mean, it depends on – I guess it all depends on the deal he'd get. Right?
Speculation puts Thibs' favorite Nuggets front court player as somebody else. Remember there was the whole Kenneth Faried talk?
Yeah, but that –
I'm good on that, too.
How long have the Wolves been rumored as a trade partner for Kenneth Faried?
Forever.
Where there's smoke, there's fire? I don't know. No. I don't make the rules.
Yeah, I mean, just –
because that's been years.
And it's also the speculation was he did really well in international play, and that's such a different animal because you can just stay in the damn lane.
Yeah.
And that's why Kenneth Faried is actually not a horrendous defender in international basketball.
That's why Nemanja Bjelica is one of the revered international basketball players, at least at his position.
The exciting thing at this point is that we, depending on how lineups go, we should get the most – interaction between Jokic and Towns we've had yet.
And that'll be fun. I really like Jokic.
Which should be a lot of fun. I'm assuming that Gorgui will guard Jokic because that's how Tibbs has kind of done the defensive
scheme. Whatever the fun matchup could be, it's not going to happen. Because Gorgui's going to guard
Gorgui
the other
typically
guy.
Guards the five. Yeah. That's what it's been.
I do know that Towns just hates Nurkic. Like, remember that couple of years ago? That's trash! That's trash!
What's our road record?
I have it right here. It is...
better than our home record.
5-10, and they're also...
And they're 5-11
at home.
Oh.
4-6 in the last 10. Denver's...
technically correct. The best kind of correct.
Denver's 5-5 in their last 10 there. 6-8 at home, 7-10 on the road. The road number doesn't mean much.
They finally actually started playing around Jokic instead of doing like the dumb Jokic Nurkic double big lineup worked right. And like Gary Harris is good. Moutier's been better lately, but is still a huge question mark.
I was so high on him.
Jamal Murray was down and then he was up, and I don't know where he's at now, but it's not up.
Murray can score.
Yeah, he's good.
That's probably who the Wolves should have drafted. There would have been redundancy, but he would have been good. He's the most valuable player.
Yeah, I'm still going to reserve the right to make judgment on Dunn for like another year.
Talk to me
December 27th, 2017.
That's totally fine. The reason I'm like bearish now and making and saying this is because if he doesn't pan out well, this is like he's not going to have trade value at that point. That's why I'm saying it right now. Like you could actually get something for him.
The picture with Murray as opposed to Dunn, since they were like, because Murray was the pick right after Dunn, right? He was 6. Picture how the Wolves bench lineup would work with an actual scorer and Tyus this season.
Or do you play Murray at the 1?
You play him at the 2, I think.
You play him at the 2 next to Tyus in that situation.
Yeah.
And, like, that defense is so bad. The defense is a non-starter, but welcome to talking about Tyus Jones. Like, that's...
welcome to talking about the Wolves bench anyway. I mean, like,
that's
Dunn
the thing, is like, they're
going to
be...
but it doesn't
you
matter.
You have Cole Aldrich and his rim protection to mitigate some of the issues that go along with that. I still think there's...
it's your job, Cole. Anchor the whole damn thing.
Go crazy, pal.
But, like, he's probably a better defender than Shabazz because I'm probably a better defender than Shabazz.
Yeah,
easy, pal. Tell that to Adam Morris; he'll rip you a new one. He had a nice rant about how people perceive NBA players because NBA players would wipe the floor with all of us. The worst.
No, it's absolutely true. But comparing Shabazz to any other NBA player is like saying, like, yeah, I'm the thinner kid at fat camp. I mean, like...
are you the comedian or is Mike Brody? I can't tell.
He's doing good. He's got a lot of. He's like the Beastie Boys. He's got a lot of analogies and similes and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that was his freestyle.
I'm Mike D, and I get respect. Your cash and your jewelry is what I expect.
I just remember they rhymed commercial with commercial once.
Really?
Yeah.
That's like against rap rules, right?
Jay-Z rhymed scenario with scenario. That was pretty baller. I'm very white.
Rap Lyric Podcast coming soon to the Lockdown Podcast.
I'm just picturing like this like dusty old book of rap rules that's like hidden in a shrine somewhere. That like every anytime you string together words in any rhythmic fashion, it just appears in front of you and you're expected to read it and learn it before you can ever rap. Ever.
Just you open it
up. You have to sign a pledge to abide by the rap rules.
All right. A couple more things on the Nuggets, and I say we get the hell out of here. Yeah. I'm pulling up Jamal Murray's stuff, but hearkening back to the conversation we were having about Jokic and Nurkic, one of them needs to be on the floor at all times, right?
Yeah.
Yep. That's...
is that happening now? I just don't watch enough Nuggets.
I don't enough, but I know that Malone has changed how he's using a Jokic in particular, and Jokic, there was the whole thing last year with Jokic like not playing enough minutes.
Which is fine. He's a rookie.
Which was fine. He was a rookie, but that was still happening this year when he's clearly...
well, he struggled with foul trouble.
Yeah, but...
so to Malone's credit, he's got to come out if he gets two early ones. This is my very surface perspective on the Nuggets.
And that's fine. It's like Zach LaVine his rookie year. Even if he's bad, even if he's playing out of position, he's your best player and should be on the floor getting experience and getting better.
You know I'm a soft spot for that. That's why you went there.
My issue with it is, I will die on that hill. I don't know if the point guard thing was the right way to go about that.
It helped him improve. Yeah. I will die on this hill.
That's
I've asked him, but that, it helped.
No,
him.
It's actually when he like hey, when he has the ball,
you
like,
help you. Yeah, yeah, I swear.
It helped him get some training in some areas he wouldn't have gotten before, and so now if he has to bring the ball up, you're like, okay, he knows how to do this.
He knows where players should be in certain situations because he
also. None of the shots he takes are bad anymore because he just makes them all. So yeah,
don't jinx it.
He's the reason the Wolves' offense actually Synergy Sports data reflects it. They're pretty good in when the shot clock is 4 seconds or less. It's because you can just give it to Levine and his release point is so high he can get a shot off.
Right.
There's really not a lot of people who can block his shot.
Pretty ridiculous how everything he does is like off the dribble.
He was making it didn't feel like he was going to miss
when he missed once and I was like, now that went in.
he's incredible in those situations. Back to Jamal Murray, he's been struggling. Last 10 games, shooting 25% from three-point range.
God.
34% from the field, 20 minutes, 6.8 points a game.
That's a Rubio stat line.
He had, in games 11 through 20, he was scoring 11.9 points a game, shooting above 40% from three-point range, shooting 39% from the field. But ever since then, it's just pew. I don't want to talk about the proverbial rookie wall, but I think that's what we're dealing with.
He's nobody healed. That's anyways.
The Nuggets did beat the Clippers last night, which I missed.
I don't think Chris Paul or J.J. Redick played.
None of them played.
They didn't play against the Lakers either, did they? On Christmas,
I think J.J. Redick did.
Redick got hurt in that game.
Yeah,
that's what happened. Like, but all of them set out. So
just ruined Christmas.
What happened in this game? Yeah, Jokic had 24 on 11 of 16 shooting and had 10 rebounds. Gallo had a double-double too, so that's better from him. And Moutier didn't have 1,000 turnovers.
That's good.
Only four.
Only 98.
That means Malone doesn't have to single him out and rip him in his post-game press conference.
So what's your guys' prediction? We win it or not?
Yeah, sure. I mean,
that's basically where I'm at.
The Timberwolves theme. Yeah, sure.
That's basically where I'm at.
Yeah, why not?
It's a winnable game.
I feel like we beat team like we rise or lower to the occasion, and I feel like this is like a typical like we're gonna screw this up.
And this is
except against the Sixers where they decimated them. Yeah.
They played Denver like the second game of the season,
and they should have won that game.
Should have won that game. That was a close. That was a really close.
That
loss.
was gut wrenching.
Was that here? Or was
that was
in
here?
Denver? So they played close the first time around, and I think that wasn't during the stretch where Ricky was out, so that was normal lineups.
Well, I think that was the first one. They blew in the third quarter, I think.
No, they blew the first game in the third quarter. Trust me, that was
the Grizzlies.
If this was the second game, then it was becoming a trend.
That was Z-Bo destroying them.
Sure. Dude, that first quarter, I was like, this is it. We're winning 60 games this year. This is it.
We're doing this. Yeah, I think they'll win. Naylor thought they were going to lose last night, and they won. So
I did not like the back-to-back. I did not trust the road home back-to-back at all, even if they got back and didn't change time zones.
In fairness, they didn't show up in the second half last game, so they were arrested.
it's not false. I can't quantify it, but they looked bouncy last night. They looked good. It looked like they were having fun playing.
They hit every shot.
No, that helps.
Forgive me for not believing in that.
They're going to shoot 60% from three for the rest of the year.
The Wolves will win if they make all the shots.
The Wolves are going to win if Wiggins shoots even like 40% from three in a game. Like
he was
if
happy
he goes
last
like
night.
Two of five. If he makes any of those, he's fine. Like, he was on fire last night, which is
great.
They
just kept dishing it to him, too. Yeah, like,
he was very relieved in the locker room, like, talking about how relieved he was.
He'd made, like, 1-3 since the end of November.
He's been building the house with all the bricks.
And then it just, I mean, they just kept feeding it to him. I mean, he was...
Well, and it's... Because that's, the, like...
Same spot, too, right at the top. Up right at the top of the key, just a little bit to the right.
Like,
yeah.
I haven't done the research on this, but the thing I'd be curious to see is what the Wolves' record when four of their five starters hit a three. Because it was everybody but Jang last night contributed from outside the arc.
Get him a corner three.
Look, they
should drop the first play for a Jang corner three.
They actually should do that a little bit.
He's got a decent long range, too.
Yeah. They should make the corner three.
Yeah, I've seen him in warm-ups literally make 20 corner threes in a row. I mean, he actually, if he's wide open, he can make that shot. Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean.
I saw a game where Manute Bol hit 6 threes once.
Who?
Manute, wait. You don't know
he
who,
would, he's closer
wait,
to
Wait, you don't know who Manute Bol is?
I know the name.
He was 7'7". Like, he was.
From Sudan.
Him and George Mirasan were the two tallest players ever to play in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah. And he was in a Saturday Night Live skit where you go on a cruise and Manute Bol's there.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I've never seen
anything. He's the skinniest. He's the tallest player in the NBA history, and he played with the shortest player in the NBA history.
That's tight.
Muggsy Bogues on the Bullets.
That's super tight.
There's a picture of them like.
That must have been late in Muggsy's career, right?
I remember.
No, it was early.
Early.
Before the Hornets.
I remember watching him. Well, two matchups. Mirasan.
In the near mic against Fenelon.
I remember watching Manute Bol and Mirasan, like in two different games, obviously, play against Arvydas Sabonis when he was at the Blazers. Yeah. And just like, that is a lot of person. Like, yeah. Like that. Sabonis was bigger, by the way. He was massive.
Not
like,
taller.
No, but he weighed like 300
pounds.
Well,
he was like 46 by that point.
And he was
still
a monster.
And still was good.
He had dad strength, and I just can't handle that, dude.
European dad strength.
He shot like 40% from three his rookie year. He was good. He's the biggest what if ever, I think, if he would have came over.
But they could say that about a lot of people, but I agree.
There's the whole Cold War thing.
Whatever happened to Mirasan anyway? It was like Harold Miner. He just turned around. He was gone.
He wasn't that good.
Why do the Blazers have all these cult legends? Mysterious cult legends? Because they had Harold Miner.
Well, Harold Miner was the Heat.
I thought he played for the Blazers.
He was Baby Jordan. He was one of the first people to get compared to Jordan, if I remember.
He's the original Baby Jordan?
Because Jordan was still playing. Jordan was still in his prime.
The next Michael. Yeah.
Baby Jordan, he could dunk, but he couldn't do everything else.
Blazers have mystique because that team has just been struck by just bad injury luck so many times. That's why it is.
Bill Walton.
Yeah, but Bill Walton got them a title. Yeah. What if we're
the Brotherhood
aliens,
with
man.
One banner. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
You see the parody videos?
The Game of Zones thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the Blazers are referred to as the Brotherhood with one banner.
I'd take it.
Yeah. Instead of the Brotherhood without banner. I read the books. I'm a nerd.
So good.
You read the books?
Oh yeah.
I quit reading it because he kept saying bunghole over and over again. Like, how many times can you say bunghole? And then boiled leather. Like, those
boiled
are the two
leather.
Things he said the most. Boiled leather and bunghole.
Boiled leather is the name of a set where, like, as A Feast for Crows and A Storm of Swords, they're in non-chronological order.
Oh.
But you can reorder the chapters between those two books, and that's how you're supposed to read them. They call it the Boiled Leather Package. Anyway!
Boiled Leather is actually the name of my cover band, anyway.
Oh, my goodness. That is enough for Mike Brody.
Thank you.
At Mike Brody Comic on Twitter, I think.
Mike Brody. Oh, yeah. Mike Brody Comic on Twitter, MikeBrody.com.
And out come the Timberwolves. That was – and out come the Timberwolves.com.
It's a stupid rancid reference.
For Timberwolves.
Gotta get that.
Timberwolves thoughts. Patrick Fenelon.
Yep.
PATRICK_FENEL.
O-N.
There you go. David Naylor.
I spelled my name.
At Prof Cedar.
Prof Cedar. PROFCEDAR.
Find my work at canishoopus.com. Follow me on Twitter to track my travels across the country, following the team around. Thank you, Zach, for having me on the podcast. Glad to be here.
Thanks for the beers.
Yep. My pleasure.
Good to be here, Zach.
Thanks, Patrick, for coming in.
Yeah.
Won't be the last time. Mike Brody won't be the last time either.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys all getting along and coming together on short notice.
We'll fight later.
Yeah.
This has been the Locked On Timberwolves podcast. So long.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
With the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year.
Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.